Sitting at the Sunday school picnic yesterday, I was marvelling at how our lives have changed in the last 13 years. I had the opportunity to look around at all the different families that were there, with all their extra pieces. There were those who were prepared enough to bring camp chairs. There were picnic tables, proper mats for sitting on the ground, cool boxes full of everything that you would possibly need, and a big, huge bag that you just needed. Once upon a time, we were the kind of family that had a bag packed, ready for outings. It contained at least two changes of clothes, sun cream, wipes, tissues, a small medical kit and paracetamol, some water, and for our children, it was paper and pencils. I know that some people rely on their phones, but we used to find we could get through a whole restaurant meal with a bit of paper and a pencil, and they would just draw, and it meant we could actually eat lunch sometimes. Even the car had the essentials for the day out, so there were emergency waterproofs in the back and extra seats if we were at people's houses that we could just pull out an emergency high chair if we needed it. And I realised that 13 years have gone and we don't need these things anymore, but perhaps we need to be prepared, because it took us three attempts to leave the house yesterday. The first time we went back because we'd forgotten the sun cream. The second time we went back because we didn't have sunglasses. And I still forgot my sun hat. And I'm suffering today, I really am, because my head's quite sore, but it'll be fine. That's why there's no water left on the table. Those thoughts led me to think about what it must be like to have leave all your belongings behind and to head out unprepared with nothing but the clothes you're wearing. Those kind of experiences are almost regular features of our television viewing. In recent years, we've witnessed people prepared to leave behind everything they own because they long for a better life in a different part of the world. This week, our hearts are touched by those families who were rudely awoken by a fire in a tower block. And we witnessed those who managed to escape, left with all but the things in which they had had on when they were awoken. I think most of us will have seen the one poor man. I actually feel quite... I don't know that I see him as poor, because actually he spoke so well. The one man who had managed to get his daughter and his partner out of the house, but he'd left in the boxer shorts he'd had on to sleep, and that was all he had. I think he spoke to every news agency on the day, and so he kept appearing and reappearing. These stories of having to leave behind worldly goods are stories that speak of the vulnerability of humanity, having to rely upon the kindness of others. They're stories that speak to a biblical understanding of learning to live with and accept the compassion of God in all of our vulnerability. Before I want to go on and say what I want to say about the text, I want to say I suspect that some of you were wondering why our call to worship was so joyful. Why were we to shout hymns of praise on a weekend when we have seen so much sadness in recent weeks? And I think it's important that you know that my call to worship was drawn from Psalm 100, and you've also Psalm 116. These are the two psalms for today. But it's interesting that those two psalms come between the two readings that you hear today, for their joy in the midst of vulnerability. And I'll say a wee bit more about the vulnerability that you find in the texts. But I haven't gone out of my way to pick cheerful hymns today. Those are the hymns or the songs that would be sung today because they fit with the readings that are today. And one of those readings was Psalm 100. Scripture's full of stories that speak of travelling. Today in our readings we could have had the story from the book of Genesis of Abraham and Sarah on their journey from Ur to the promised land. Instead, we joined the journey of the Israelites as they leave behind slavery in Egypt to return to the promised land. We meet them at Mount Sinai, the place where we know encounters with God will take place. Out of context, that reading sounds quite cheerful. A wee reminder that the people belong to God and that the divine presence is always with them to support them. Of course, we know that smooth passage is not really the journey of what we hear. Instead, we are to remember what happened before, the hurry with which the Israelites have had to leave Egypt, after all the plagues, finishing with the killing of the firstborn children, the Israelites had to leave Egypt, and in a hurry. They'd made ready the little they could, but fairly quickly their resources would run out. Within days, the Israelites were complaining to Moses that they were hungry and that they would have been better back in Egypt. God feeds them with bread and quails. They find themselves battling a different army from the Egyptian guard, and they're only able to win with God at work in Moses. It's a fascinating story in which the Israelites are winning if Moses raises his hand. But the moment he lowers his hands, the other army wins. And so there's a point in the story where Moses has to be helped to keep his hands raised. It's a story that tells of moving from self-reliance to discovering a reliance on God, a reliance on the compassion of God, who responds when we cry out for help. Of course, help doesn't always come in the form that we expect, and it doesn't necessarily follow the pattern that we had planned. The gospel passage begins with the journey of Jesus and then moves to the journey that the disciples will make. As the presence of God in human form, Jesus moves from village to village, meeting the needs of the vulnerable. The word translated as sickness at verse 35 could equally be translated as vulnerable or infirm. But perhaps it's the words that of who Jesus reaches out to that caught you, that Jesus reaches out to the harassed and helpless. Did it have you ask who the harassed and helpless are? We'd like to say others. And yet we know that at times we ourselves feel harassed and helpless and need of the reassurance of God's compassion offered to us. The journey of Jesus doesn't finish in him. Instead, the disciples are called, and by extension of our understanding that we are the disciples, we too are called to take up the journey that we have seen in Jesus' life. A journey that brings healing and liberation to all. The sending out of the 12 makes clear that all who are willing to share in the task of ensuring that the weak and the helpless encounter the presence of God can participate in the task. The gospel list begins with the one who will deny Jesus 3 times and ends up with the one who betrays him. And in the middle of all of that list, there's the one who doubts. It's a list that offers a clear reminder that all of us can and know failure. And yet we all find a place at the heart of God. Those who are to seek out the vulnerable are told they should pack light. They're not to take much when they head from community to community. No bag, no money, no change of clothes, no sandals, and no walking stick. Those who go to meet the vulnerable are to go in their own vulnerability. They're to go ready to receive help as well as to offer it. Are we honest enough to admit that none of us likes to feel vulnerable? There will be those amongst us who don't like going to the doctors or the hospital, no matter how ill we might be, because we don't want to ask for help. There will be those amongst us who have found coming to terms with living on their own difficult, but we don't want to ask for help. There will be those amongst us who, in growing older, find some things a little bit more difficult, but we don't want to ask for help. Independence matters to us all, and none of us likes to admit that occasionally we may have to rely on others. And yet here in the gospel, we are urged to make ourselves vulnerable so that we might better help the vulnerable. Out of our vulnerability, the compassion of God allows us to meet and engage with the vulnerability of another. Beyond the fire in London, the passage has set me thinking about our expectations of a church community. So often we think we have all the answers, and yet true discipleship means allowing ourselves to discover that the answers might lie elsewhere, amongst the vulnerable people and communities of our world. God is waiting for us to bring our vulnerability so that healing and liberation can take place. What should we pack for the journey into the unknown adventure of discipleship? Perhaps a little humility, that we may not always have the answer. Perhaps a recognition of our failures, so that we can welcome the success of others. Perhaps, and maybe most importantly, a little hope that even when we can see no way forward, Christ casts a chink of light so that we can embrace our vulnerability in the other we meet. Amen.